Daladav, Thursday the 31st of July, Rabbi Zalman Krasnow, Gilgulim and the ramifications in the cemetery.
Before I begin, I just want to mention that today is the yard site of two of my wife's grandfathers, the Kedushas Tzion of Vabov and Rav Moshe Stempel, who were brutally murdered by the Nazis, and they should be good debate for all of us, and the shir should be Yiloi Neshama for them. We are holding in the time period of the 3 weeks, the Bein HaMetzarim, and there are some very interesting halachas that are associated with the 3 weeks. In Simin Tov Kuf Nun Tes, which is Minhagei Tisha B'Av, in the last halacha, in Sif Yud, the Shulchan Aruch says as follows: Nayhagim shalay lishchait v'shalay lahachin tzarchei suda ad acher chatzos. The minig is, the custom is not to shecht and not to prepare the things for the suda until after chatzos. The Ramah then adds a very interesting halacha. The Ramah says, Haga v'holchim al hakvaros. Miyad shaholchem ibeis haknesses. After we finish davening, we go to the kvaros. The source is a Tosfos that says as follows: the Gemara in Tainis daf tezayin amud alf. The minig was that on Tainis tzibor they would go out to the beis hakvaros. Lama yaitzin lebeis hakvaros. Why does one go out to the beis hakvaros on a fast? Pligi bar Reb Levi bar Chama v'Reb Chanina. There's a machlokes Reb Levi bar Chama and Reb Chanina as to the reason why one goes to the beis hakvaros on a fast day. Chad Omar, one of them says that was trying to send a message. Harei anu chashuvin lefanecha kemesim. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, we're going to the cemetery to show that we are like mesim, that we are nothingness and not worthy of any punishment, and that he should have rachmanis on us. The Chad Amar and the other man Amar says, "Kedei sheyivakshu aleinu meisim rachamim," so that the dead should plead for mercy on our behalf in Shemayim. The Gemara asks, "May benaya, what's the difference?" Both of these man Amrim agree that one should go to the Beis HaKvaros on a fast day, either kedei sheyivakshu aleinu rachamim, or So as to say, Harenu Chashuvim Lefanecha Kemesim. The Gemara says, Ika Beinayu Kivrei Akum. The grave, the tombstone of a Gentile, of a guy, is the Nafkamina. If the reason is to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Harenu Lefanecha Kemesim, so then it makes no difference as to the ethnicity of the dead person. However, if the concept is that the Mesim should be Mavakish Rachamim for us, that would only apply if it were a Jew. Tosfos over there, Dibar Maschil Yoytzin LeBeis HaKvaros, writes the following: Mikan and Nayhagim, from here stems the minig, B'chol Malkim, Leilech LeBeis HaKvaros B'Tisha B'Av, Shaharei Tisha B'Av Havitainis Tzibor, Kimoi Shahayu Oysin Mipnei HaGishamim. Abkan Dibar Tosfos. Tosfos says that from this Gemara starts the minig to go to the Beis HaKvaros, B'chol Malkim, Tosfos says. Certain places actually nowadays have the minik, certain places don't have the minik. And the reason why is because Tisha B'Av, everybody agrees, has the status of a Tainus Tzibor. The Beis Yosef in the Tzimin Tavkuf Nuntas quotes this Tosfos and Gemara, and that is the source for this Ramah. In Archos Rabbeinu, it's brought down that the Chazon Ish used to follow this practice, and he would go to the Beis HaKvaros every Tisha B'Av after davening. Certain years he would actually enter the Beis HaKvaros and walk in between the rows of the Kvarim. In other years he would just stand at a distance from afar. And the Stipler's Minig was likewise. It's interesting that as the Stipler progressed in years, he started to go less frequently. So much so that Archos Rabbeinu says that he's unsure exactly as to the year, but in the last couple of years of the Stipler's life, he didn't go at all. The Mishnah Brura in Simitavkuf Nuntas in Sifkat and Mem Aleph says as follows: Al Hakvaris, that the minig on Tisha B'Av is to go to the Beis Hakvaris. What are we talking about? It's like the Mishnah Brura Shal Yisrael of a Yid. Kidei sheyivakshu aleinu rachamim. So the Mishnah Brura quotes one of the Mandamim in the Gemara that you should go to a Kever of Yisrael in order that they should plead on our behalf. V'im ein shal Yisrael, if there's no Yid, halchem afilu al kivrei akum loymarash anu chashuvim kimeisim. So the Mishnah Brura brings down both shittas. He says lechatchila one should go to a Kever of Yisrael. If there are no Yidin around, you should go to a Kever of a guy. V'kol zeh, zok the Mishnah Brura, haynu leilech lebeis hakvaris berichuk dalet amas avaloy al hakvaris mamish. All of this is said to go at a distance of 4 amas, but not to go up until the kvarim. Afilu kivrei Yisrael, even to kever v'yid, ki yesh lachlo sheyistabku boi hachitzaynim. Because you should be concerned that the chitzaynim will attach themselves to him. So this is halacha in Hilchos Tisha B'Av as to going to the Beis HaKvaris.
Amas was enclosed the next game already.
Sorry? If you stand outside the cemetery, or even at the entrance to the cemetery, you are a distance of Dal Amas, just like any Kayan who goes into the cemetery.
The path.
The path, yeah. Or at the entrance. The stipler used to come in a taxi, stand, drive up to the entrance of the cemetery, and that's how he would fulfill this halacha. In Hilchus Tzitzis, in Simin Chav Gimel, the Simin is Dinei Tzitzis V'Beis HaKvaris, there's halacha as follows. Mutar Likanes V'Beis HaKvaris V'Hu Lavish Tzitzis. It's permissible for one to go into Beis HaKvaris if they're wearing tzitzis. V'hu shelo yehei nigger al HaKvaris, providing that his tzitzis are not dragging on the kvar. Aval imhu nigger al HaKvaris, but if the tzitzis are schlepping, so to speak, on the kvaris, asur mishom loyeg l'rosh. It's forbidden because of loyeg l'rosh, which is a Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Ches that says that one is not allowed to go into Beis HaKvaris wearing tefillin or holding a Sefer Torah, or wearing tzitzis because of loy l'rosh, apostolic and mishlei, which means mockery of the dead, that the dead can't do any more mitzvahs, and here we are doing mitzvahs in front of them, so it's ridiculing them. Zok l'mechaber, b'amed var mamur, when were these words said? B'meyam shayu matilim tzitzis b'malbush shalev shem l'tzarech atzmam. When was one allowed to go into the Beis HaKvaris wearing tzitzis, providing that the actual fringes were not dragging on the kever? That was in their days where they had to wear clothing, and their clothing were four-cornered begadim. Aval anu she'im mechavnu b'ham el l'shem mitzvah. The fashion nowadays is that we don't wear four-cornered begadim, and we only do it to be mekayim, the mitzvah of tzitzis. Zot l'mechaber, aser afilu enim nigrarim. One is not allowed to go into Beis HaKvaris wearing tzitzis, even if it's not schlepping on the kvarim. V'hani mili, kisha tzitzia is megulim. Zot l'shulchan aruch. This is providing that tzitzis are uncovered. But if the tzitzis are covered, then it would be mutter. Now the Acharonim point out a very interesting thing. One goes to a kever, and we hope that after a certain amount of years, the guf, the body, no longer exists, that it gets decomposed, and that's part of the tahira process that the mace has. So why are you going to the kever? And the answer is as follows. We just learned in the Shulchan Aruch that if one covers their tzitzis, it's not a problem of loyeg l'rosh. So let me ask you a question. When you go to the Beis HaKvaris, when one goes to the Beis HaKvaris, the mace is covered. So why is it any better to cover your tzitzis from in front of the mace or to have the mace covered in front of you? Every mace, by definition, is in the ground. He can't see the tzitzis. And the answer is because there's a certain part of the nefesh, and I say nefesh bedavka, but there's a certain part of the nefesh that hangs around at every kever. And it's external, it's not necessarily in the ground. And that's the reason why when one goes to the Beis HaKvaris, they have to cover their tzitzis, because the nefesh is outside. So even after the body is fully decomposed, there still is an inyan to go to visit a kever because of that nefesh that's there.
And if you cover it, you can't see?
If you cover it, it's not ridiculing, because you're not showing it to them. You're not mocking them. Here, look, I'm doing a mitzvah. You're unable. Now, at first thought, you would have said as follows. This inyan of loyeg l'rosh, of mocking the dead, is as follows. The dead are in the olam ha'emes. They can no longer perform any mitzvahs, and you're doing a mitzvah in front of them. So, you would have said that it doesn't make a difference as to what mitzvah you're doing. Any mitzvah would be over the iser of layeg l'rosh. Meaning to say that if you're doing mitzvah aleph, let's say you're shaking a lulav and esrog. So when you're shaking lulav and esrog, you can't do that in the Beis HaKfaris because that's layeg l'rosh. Also, you could be doing a bris milah. It wouldn't make a difference as to which mitzvah you're doing. Any mitzvah would be over on layeg l'rosh. But we'll see in a second that it's not the case. The Mishnah Berurah in Simen Chaf Gimel on Halacha Gimel, Halacha says as follows: Hanichnas Toich Arba Amos Shel Meis Oy Shel Kever Dina Kinichnas LeBeis HaKvaris. The Halacha is not said only regarding a cemetery. Even if you go in within 4 amos of a mace or a kever that's not buried in the cemetery, that also is the problem of Loig L'Rush. And the Mishnah Berurah says as follows. And listen to the word. This is in Sif Katan Hay. Shel kever, va'afilu bekever shel katan. Zok the Mishnah Berurah, even if you're going to go to the kever of a minor, yesh lahachmer mishum loig l'rosh. You have to be concerned because of loig l'rosh. Deshema nishmas adam gadolhu. Because perhaps this katan is a gilgal of an adam gadol. Now every katan is not mechuyev in mitzvahs. This is simin chaf gimel, sif katan hey in the Mishnah Berurah. Every katan is not mechuyev in mitzvahs. He has a mitzvah of chinuch. But that mitzvah is not on the child, the pashtus. That mitzvah is perhaps on his father, perhaps on both of his parents. So what ridiculing is there of a katan who didn't have the mitzvah b'chayim? Zok the Mishnah Berurah. Since the katan could have been a gilgal of a gadol, and in his previous incarnation, he was a gadol, then he had a mitzvah, you're mocking him. So we see that the mitzvah has to be a mitzvah that the person that's buried there would have been mechuyevin. Because if not for the fact that we have to be concerned that this katan is a gilgal of a gadol, loy l'rosh wouldn't apply in front of a katan. Now listen to the next words of the Mishnah Berurah. Aval bekever isha. What about the grave of a lady? The bechayeha gam kein ptura, that in her lifetime she was also pater from mitzvahs. Leka mishom loyeg l'rosh. There's no iser of loyeg l'rosh. Ad kandiriya Mishnah Berurah. And the question is obvious. By a katan, he wasn't mechuyev in mitzvahs. Yet we're concerned that maybe in his previous gilgal, he was a gadol. The Mishnah Berurah then says, what about a lady? But a lady that in her lifetime she wasn't mechuyev, there's no loyeg l'rosh. Hold on a second, the katan also in his lifetime wasn't mechuyev, and yet you're telling me that we're concerned for a previous gilgal, why not by a lady? There should be an iser of loyeg l'rosh.
She might have been a gilgal of a gadol.
She might have been the gilgal of a man, a gadol, who was mechuyev in mitzvah tzitzis. That is the ramification of gilgulim in the cemetery. So, let's approach this quickly. This is slightly esoteric. I have no inkling at all about any Inyanei Kabbalah. I'm just going to quote to you from the classic Sfarim and take it or leave it. Today is the yard site of the Ramami Pano. Now the linguistics amongst you will probably correct me that it's not the Ramami Pano, it's the Rami Fano, because Fano is a town in Italy, but there is a certain Messiah that we pronounce the Ramami Pano. For argument's sake, we'll call it the Ramami Pano. The Ramami Pano was born in Shin Ches, 1548, and his name was Menachem Azaria from Pano. He was the son of Rabbi Yitzchak Berechia. In the year Shin Lamed, the Ramak, Rav Moshe Cordovero, the Baal Machaber Sefer Pardes Rimonim, who is to a certain degree noted as one of the fathers of the Kabbalah movement, so he sent his Sefer Pardes Rimonim to the Ramami Pano, who, if he was born in Shin Ches, and the Ramak was Nifter in Shin Lamed, so he couldn't have been more than 22 years old. At age 26, the Beis Yosef, who was residing in Tzvas, sent his Pirush, the Kesef Mishnah on the Rambam, to Venezia, to Venice, to be published. Everybody knows that Venezia had a major printing press. He appointed the Ramami Pano at the age of 26 to be in charge of the Pirush and the printing of the Kesef Mishnah. So this is a man who was a Haskama at a ripe young age from none other than the Beis Yosef himself. In Shin Nun Zayin, so 49 years after he was born, Rabbi Yisrael Sarug, who was a Talmud of the Arizal, made his way to Italy. And for those of you who have a slight background in Kabbalah, the Moshe Cordovero had his Mahalach in Kabbalah, and the Arizal had his Mahalach in Kabbalah, and they didn't always see eye to eye. And the Ramah Mipano was Makabel all of his Torah then from Mari Sarug, who was a Talmud of the Arizal, and so to speak, switched his Mahalach in Kabbalah to that of the Arizal. Now, in many of the Kabbalah Sfarim, it says that Reb Chaim Vital is the only Talmud that has the proper Mesorah from the Arizal, and for that reason, many Mekubalim, specifically Sfaradishim Mekubalim, will only go with the Divrei Torah, the Pshatim of Reb Chaim Vital, but others, and I find myself in that school of thought, have the Mahalach and the Mesorah of the Mari Sarug as well, which also encompasses Reb Chaim Velazhna and the Vilna Gaon. So there are certain things that we consider mikubal, pun intended, for the Torah of the Mari Sarug as well. So this was the Ramah Mipano. The Ramah Mipano was a Gadol Hadar. He has Chuvas Ramah Mipano, which are mikubal by everybody in Torah's Nigla. And in Torah's Nister, we'll see that he was a fantastic Gaon, and he's quoted as some as being the head of the Mekubalim in Medinas, Italia. In Shinpei, in 1620, the Ramah Mipano was nifter in the town of Mantova, which in Italian is Mantua, and if my Italian is correct, and Mantua. And the story goes as follows. The Ramah Mipano had a minig every day. He would be misboided and misyakid, him himself, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he had a shamash, whose job it was to come and reawaken him from his histapkus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayihi Hayoim, in 1620, a fire broke out in Mantova, and chaos reigned supreme, and the shamash was delayed in coming to reawaken the Ramah Mipano, and by the time he got there, it was too late. The Ramah Mipano, mitoch histapkus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his neshama left him. And this is the reason why he had appointed that shamash, and obviously Nistarim Darkei Hashem, but he became so mekushet HaKadosh Baruch Hu that his neshama left him. And that was on this day, today, Dalad Av, in 1620. So I want to tell you about Torah from the Ramah Mipano. And time is getting late, so we're going to have to move it a little bit. And basically, the Vart is as follows. I heard it the first time from Ephraim Waxman, who added in his own Knechis. And this is how it goes. There's a Medrash Rabbah that says that the Ahava between Shechem and Dina is the Ahava between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. And the question is obvious. The relationship between Shechem and Dina is an illicit one. How could that be the Ahava between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael? The Ramah Mipano, in his Sefer Eim Kol Chai, Chelek Aleph, Simin Gimel, writes as follows. That Shechem and Dina were Nisgalgal, they became Gilgulim, into first Zimri and Kosbi, and then finally into Rebbe Akiva and Eishes Tornes Rufus. For more about that story, see in the Darim Nun Amud Beis. There's a slight machlokes between the Mefarish and the Ran, that Eishes Tornes Rufus, in a nutshell, tried to get Rebbe Akiva to do an Aveiro, and he obviously didn't succumb to the temptations, and in the end she ended up being a Giyaris, and he married her. And the Ramah Mipano explains, based on the Mefarish and the Ramah Mipano, Vayoyel Moshe, that this relationship between Shechem and Dina needed to have a purification, needed to have a zikuch, that they contaminated it. And then they had to be nisgalgal into the neshamas of Zimri and Kosbi. And unfortunately, Zimri and Kosbi messed up once again, until Rebbe Akiva and Eishes Tornes Rufus came along, and they finally purified that ahava between them. The Pasuk says that when Yaakov berated Shimon and Levi, how could you go kill Shechem? They said, HaKizayna Ya'aseh Sachisayna, could we let our sister be like Kizayna? And the Lashon is Ya'aseh, Lashon Asid. What's Lashon Asid? The story already happened. The Ramah Mipano says it's going on the next Gilgal. If we don't take actions now, who knows what the ramifications will be? Yaakov Inu says in the Berachos Yaakov, Arur Apam Ki'az, the Bracha to Shimon and Levi says, Arur Apam Ki'az, the Seif Tevois, Zimri. Because Zimri is the future Gilgal. Rabbi Kiva says, "Mi yitan li tamid chacham banashchenu kachamar." Rabbi Kiva hated tamid chachamim until he turned 40. Who will give me tamid chacham? I'll bite him like a chamar. Normally, when you talk about a bite, you speak about a nachash, a snake, an akrav, a scorpion. What's the bite of a donkey? Shechem's father's name was Chamar. Rabbi Kiva was saying, "I hate tamid chachamim like the way my father taught me. The way Shechem, who is my Gilgal, his father was Chamar. Mi yitan li tamid chacham banashchenu kachamar? Like my Messiah is to hate tamid chachamim." The Ramah Mipano says a fascinating thing. that not only was the neshama of Shechem and Dinah nisgalgal, but the whole time period in history was nisgalgal. The Medrash Rabbah says that when Shimon Levi went to kill the city of Shechem, how many people did they kill? 24,000 people were killed by Shimon Levi when they plundered the city of Shechem. And I already see you smiling. By the Magefa with Zimri and Kazbi, where they were Mizana with the Bnei Samayah, how many people died? The last pasuk in the parasha, 24,000 people died. And Rabbi Kiva's Talmidim, 24,000 Talmidim died. This time frame in history needed a purification, it needed a zikuch. And that only happened once Rabbi Kiva came and married Eishes Tornis Rufus, and then was Meiser Nafshai for Kvod Hashem and Kvod HaTorah. We're going to lay in on Tisha B'Av Mitzvah. It shouldn't come around. But they were combing his flesh with iron combs. And Abaska went out with a Shemayim and said, Echad is Rosh Tevis Ahuva Chashuka Devuka, which is the exact Lashonis that the Medrash uses to describe the Ahava between Shechem and Dinah. The final purification happened when Rabbi Kiva was Meiser Nafshai for Torah. So we have this Ramami panel, and he says as follows: Shechem and Dinah were nisgalgal. Now let's try to work out the math. What's going on over here? Shechem was nisgalgal into Zimri. Zimri was nisgalgal into Rabbi Kiva. Dinah was nisgalgal into Kozvi. Kozvi was nisgalgal into Eishes Tornis Rufus. So we have male and female remaining constant, but we have Goyim and Yidin interchanging. So we'll have a proof, perhaps, that a goy can be a gilgal of a yid. Now, you won't find anywhere an Isser of Loig L'Rosh by a goy, because we don't know that the goy is a gilgal of a yid. Technically speaking, if one somehow were to know that a goy is a gilgal of a yid, then perhaps there would be an Isser of Loig L'Rosh. But obviously, that's beyond our capabilities. But let's try to find a raya proof. What about a male and a female? Now, the Magid Meisharim in Parashas Vayeshev, which is the Magid that came forward with the Beis Yosef, says as follows. The Beis Yosef had three wives, and from his third wife he had no children. And the Magid comes to him, Parashas Vayeshev, and tells him the following. That which you have no children from your third wife, you should know the reason is as follows. And I'll quote to you the Lashon. It's on page Lamed of Magid Meisharim. Arli Yom HaShabbos Yudvav Lateves Hashem Imach. I already told you the secrets of your last two wives. I'll tell you now the secrets of your third wife. You should know this wife of yours, she was the Gilgal of a Talmud Chacham Kasher, but he was a kamtzen, he was stingy with his money, and he also was a kamtzen b'chachmasa, he didn't want to teach other people Torah. And because of that, she had to marry you, and she's done an abundance of chesed, and because she was married to you, you the Beis Yosef, from the biggest disseminators of Torah, so she has a kapara on both of the things that she had to be nisgalgal for, and the Magen Meisharim then goes and tells him that the reason why they have no children is because she's the gilgal of a zachar, and he's a zachar and she's a zachar, so it won't work. And then he proceeds to tell him that I'm going to work it out. I'm going to give her a nitzitz, a spark of a nekeva, and you'll be able to have children. Here we have a Magid Meisharim that says that the third wife of the Beis Yosef was the Gilgal of a man. So let's go back to our Kasha, Mishnah Berurah, help us out over here. You tell me by Katam Yechtim Yechashish for Gilgal Zachar, whatever happened to the chash of a Gilgal nekeva. Now it's unbelievable that in one line of the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchos Tzitzis and Siman Chav Gimel, we have all this raid in Hilchos in Kabbalah. And you should know that as an aside, there are people that want to refute when Kabbalah started. Some say that the Reb Shem Baruch Chai didn't write the Zayar. I want to read you a fantastic lashon from the Chidah in Shema Gedolim. And he says as follows. The Chidah writes that there was a Sefer called Sefer HaBoyer, which was authored by Reb Nechunya ben Akana. And Reb Nechunya ben Akana, the Rabbeinu Bachaya quotes Sefer HaBoyer as stating that we know Moshe ben Estakasha, they mat Sadik Virali Rosha Vitoivloi, and Reb Nechunya ben Akana writes in Sefer HaBoyer, Rabbeinu Bachaya quotes in Dvarim, that what's Pshat and Sadik Virali, and he says that Sadik Virali is because the Tzadik used to be a Rosha. And when Nechunya ben Akana says, what do you mean he used to be a Rasha? At what age are we talking about? When he's a Katan, he's not Mechayev a Mitzvah, and perhaps until 20, he's not Chayev Karas. And Nechunya ben Akana, who was one of the Tanoim, writes that, no, I wasn't talking about in this lifetime. I was talking about in his previous lifetime. So here you have a Tanur ben Chunim ben Achana, Sefer HaBoyer, which says the concept of a Gilgul. And he was before the Tkufa of Reb Shimon bar Yochai. And can't seem to find the paper right now, but the Chida writes a fascinating thing. Here it is. He says like this. It's in Marech Hasfarim Ois Beis Sif Lamed Gimel Bahir Sefer Shechib Reb Nechuni Ben Akana Hu Hayoroshlim Kubalim Va'achar Reb Shem Ba'yechai. And he writes as follows. V'nirash HaKavonu Hu Shehu Hischil Lechaber Sefer B'Kabbalah B'Pirsum. Kabbalah always existed, but he was the first one that was Mefarsim in the Sefer the concepts of Kabbalah. Ki ha'af amnam shakol divi razalim v'nuyim al chafmas ha'emes u'kumay sh'am ra'ayim ahemno v'pirush l'kol ha'talman nisyas ha'roz l'ray. So the whole Torah is based on secrets of the Torah. Mikol makom hilbishu ha'dvarim me'oid she'enei nikr klal ki heim ha'medabrim seydei ha'Torah. They all knew Torah as a Kabbalah, but they cloaked it. It was incognito. They didn't want people to know it. Until Avram Nachuni ben Akana hischa lechabel sefer shenikra shem soydos. So those that want to say that Torah's Kabbalah doesn't exist, and I'm not going to say that there wasn't a machlokes between Reb Sadia Gaon and the Tkufas HaGaonim, but from Tkufas HaRishonim and onwards, it's basically accepted that there's a concept of Kabbalah, and we believe in that and we live with it. So just to wrap things up, the Naim Elimelech says in Parshas Korach that Torah Hashem Tamim Meshivas Nafesh, that Korach was a Gilgul of Cain. Cain killed his brother Hevel. The earth had to swallow up his blood. Korach had to be swallowed up by the earth. If Cain would have been Misakin that, then we wouldn't have Parshas Korach in the Torah. Zok Naim Ali Melach. Torah Hashem Tamimah. You want to know why Torah Hashem is complete? Because it's Meshivas Nafesh. Because of the concept of Gilgulim that come along, that's what allows Parshas Korach to be in existence. Going back to our original Shiloh. So can a man be a Gilgul of a lady? The Chida in the Sefer Pnei David writes, "Kol zocher legul gulaysam." That gul gulaysam, the gilgulim, tend to be primarily with zecharim. Reb Chaim Vital in Shar HaGilgulim in Hakdama Tes writes as follows: Midas haGilgul nayheges ba'anashim haZecharim loy binashim anekevos. Gilgulim does not apply to women. Now, if you continue reading, he does then go on to say that there are extreme scenarios and situations when there can be a Gilgul, but al pi roiv, it doesn't happen. So now let's go back to our original Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah said that by a katan, there is a Gilgul, so we have to be choshesh for loig l'rosh. By an isha, he says, she wasn't mechuyev b'mitzvahs. So we want to know if there's a Gilgul, if there's this transmigration, or for those of you that prefer metempsychosis, of nishamas, what about a lady? And the answer is that we are not choshesh for the Gilgul of the lady. It is possible, but we're not choshesh. Now, it's interesting. The source, if you look in the Shaar HaTzion, and with this I'll conclude, if you look in the Shaar HaTzion, the source for the Mishnah Berurah is an El Yerabah and a Prima Gadlin. If you look in the El Yerabah says identical to what the Mishnah Berurah writes. But if you look in the Prima Gadim, and I'm going to read you his Lashon, he says as follows. He quotes a Maharit Tatz, Maharit Zahalon, and if you look in the Maharit Zahalon, he also says the way the Mishnah Berurah says it. He says as follows, and I quote, that's not necessarily true. No. It's not necessarily true that the Rambam. The Rambam talks about Shadim and other Mazikim. It's not necessarily true that the Rambam doesn't believe the Gilgulim, but that's beyond the scope of our issue right now. But listen to Lashon of the Prima Gadim. The Prima Gadim says as follows. One second, I'll just finding it, bear with me, another 3 seconds and we're out of here. He says as follows. It's a neutral fanar, so it's kind of hard to find. Here we go. Vihine. The talis gadol hamiyuchad letfila. He talks about talis gadol for tefila. Afsitz mechusim gamkin alsim shum loig l'rush. Afilu kever katan yesh loig l'rush. Shema nishmas adam gadol. El yirabo is gimel b'shem ma'arit zahalon. Umashma kever isha de b'chayya gamkin p'tura leka loig l'rush. That's the same lash of the Mishnah Berurah. And now he adds on a couple of words. V'lochosh legilgul zachar. Why don't we concern for gilgul zachar? Kulei hai loichashinan. I don't know for what reason the Mishnah Berurah left it out, but the Prima Gadim davarns the shayla. Lochosh legilgul zachar. Kulei hai chashinan. Have a good day.